This is Tom Harris. Today's date is February 7th, 1996. I'm speaking to John Romano at his home in New Jersey. John, the record book says you're born August 23rd, 1934 in Hoboken, New Jersey. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Did you grow up in Hoboken?
Yes, I sure did. I went through all schools, through high school, and then right out of high school, I went into professional baseball.
Okay. Is that Demarest High School?
Demarest High School. Now it's Hoboken High.
Right. Okay. Now, you had how many brothers and sisters?
Well, I had two sisters and three brothers.
Okay. You started playing in the Little League, Sandlot type of thing? Is that how you got started?
Well, we didn't have Little League at that time.
What did you have, Sandlot type thing?
Yeah, basically Sandlot. Then I went into high school.
Okay, now in high school, how was the team that you played on? Was it a good team?
Oh, yeah, we won 3 or 4 years in a row, championship games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What position did you play in high school?
I was catcher and pitcher.
Catcher and pitcher, okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's when you first started catching? Did you catch in the Sandlots, or did you get your start catching?
The funny part about it, I was really a third baseman, first baseman. But what happened when I came out of grammar school into high school, I was a freshman, and it seems like three of the guys that made all county from Hoboken or from Demarest High flunked out. And the manager came up to me and says, "Are you a catcher?" Because one of the all county ball players that flunked out was a catcher.
I see.
And he says, "Are you a catcher?" I said, "Absolutely." I became a catcher.
Anything to play, huh?
Anything, just to get in the game.
Good. Now, you were scouted by the Chicago White Sox and signed by one of their scouts, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, I was scouted by almost all the scouts up in Jersey.
Okay, do you know the name of the scout that signed you?
The guy that signed me, the young guy at the time, his name was Dutch Dirch.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an older fella, and I'm trying to think of his name. I can't remember. But he was the major scout, and Dutch Dirch was one of the small guys at that time. But basically, Dutch Dirch was the one that really talked me into it.
Okay, and he signed you for the White Sox?
Yeah.
Okay, now, what year was that? Do you recall?
Oh, God.
Do you recall?
1954, I think.
Okay, so you went to spring training 55, or?
55. Yep, I went to the White Sox spring training.
Really? Not to the minor league?
No, I went with them. They wanted to see what I look like.
Okay, and how'd it turn out?
Oh, fine.
Yeah?
That's no problem. I guess I made an impression, and they sent me down to... The first year I went away, I only went away for a month. I played in D-ball.
Okay.
The next year, after I got done with spring training, they sent me down. I was supposed to go to C, and was Superior, Wisconsin. But what happened down there, because my team wasn't there yet, the B team was, in spring training, and their catcher was hurt or sick. And they asked the head scouts if it was all right if I could go catch for them in an exhibition game against Miami University. So that day, I went to play with them, and I hit a home run and a double off the scoreboard.
Wow. So
next day, they had another game, or a day later, they had another game with Miami University. They asked if I could go again. I hit a home run and one off the wall. Next day, I was on a B roster.
Isn't that something?
Never got to C ball. Never. The guys never came down from C ball, and I was already onto the B team.
Okay, what's the B team? Where is that?
B team was Waterloo, Iowa.
Waterloo, Iowa. Okay. Who was your manager there?
At that time?
Yeah.
Dutch Dorman.
Okay. I understand that you met up with Willard Marshall at one time.
Oh, yeah.
In Waterloo, this is, right?
Oh, yeah. That was, matter of fact, you see, after I got done playing, in spring training, I was built, they built me up in the newspapers back in Waterloo as the right-handed power hitter. When I went down there, I couldn't hit a loud foul tip.
This is when you first went to Waterloo.
When I first went down.
And this was based off what you had done against Miami, right?
Yeah. So when I went down there, I just wasn't hitting. And after about a month and a half, they weren't even playing me anymore. So as a matter of fact, I called my father up and I told him, I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "I gave it a good shot. They're throwing me a slider, which I've never seen, and I just can't hit it." And I said, "I'm coming home." This was Wednesday night. And he said, "Do me a favor, just stick around for the weekend." So I did. Friday night, the manager got fired. Dutch Dorman got fired.
Right, and Willard Marshall became the manager.
Willard Marshall came down from the White Sox.
Right.
And he said, because I knew him from spring training, and he said, "What happened?" I told him what was happening with the slider, and I thought I wasn't hitting or nothing. And I said, "As a matter of fact, I was ready to go home." He said, "No, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you." Monday morning started. He threw me 2 hours of batting practice, nothing but sliders. Tuesday morning, threw nothing but sliders at me. Then the next day, he started playing me. From that day on, which was almost half a season, I hit 38 home runs. I broke a 50-year-old home run record.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's terrific time. So Willard Marshall certainly helped you.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Who would you say helped you in terms of your catching? Did anyone have a profound impact on your catching like Willard Marshall did with your hitting?
Walker Cooper.
Walker Cooper? Was he one of your coaches?
Yeah, at Indianapolis.
Okay, was that prior to Waterloo or after?
Yeah, no, that was after Waterloo.
Okay, so you went to Indianapolis after Waterloo. Okay.
No. I went a lot of places after Waterloo.
Oh, okay, tell me.
From there, I went to... where the heck did they go from there? I went from Memphis, Tennessee, AA.
Right.
Played there for a couple of months, and then they shipped me to Vancouver, British Columbia, which was AAA open classification.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis was AA. I played there the rest of the year. Next year I came back, they sent me to Indianapolis. And I had a hell of a year down there. And then the next year I went back to Indianapolis.
Okay.
And then the third year I went back to Indianapolis, and then I was brought up to the big leagues.
Okay, you played for Walker Cooper at Indianapolis?
Yeah.
He was your manager?
Yeah, one year.
1 year? Who after that?
Year.
Who was your manager after him? Do you recall?
You mean once I got to the big leagues?
No, after you said 1 year at Indianapolis.
No, that was my last year at Indianapolis.
Okay.
I had a guy named Andy Cohn.
Okay.
Was one. And I'm trying to think, who was the other guy? Had Andy Cohn. And Walker Cooper, that was it.
Okay, so Walker Cooper helped you with your catching?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, you know.
Give some pointers, so to speak?
Well, he used to do a lot of stuff. You know, basically he was you know, managing in the second, you know, he was my backup catcher.
Oh, okay, he was a player manager. Okay.
Yeah, and he taught me how to stay in the game. Because he didn't want to play. That was a big thing he taught me.
All right. So now, your first big league game is with the White Sox.
Yeah,
in 58. Do you recall your first game and where it was?
Yeah, it was in Chicago.
Okay.
And I played against Bob Turley.
Right.
That was the first time I got up in the big leagues.
Bob Turley, is that what you said?
Yeah, Bob Turley, the pitcher for the Yankees.
For the Yankees, he was against the Yankees then?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember how you did?
Yeah, I hit a long fly ball left field.
Okay.
And that was it.
So you only got in 4 games that year?
Basically, yeah.
Right, so the following year you go to spring training with the Sox?
Yep, I went with the Sox, and they had to keep me, otherwise they'd have to trade me.
What was that rule at that time, that bonus rule?
At that particular time there was, after being so many years in the minor leagues, they either had to bring you up or
release you, so to speak, or lose you, right?
Or, you know, trade you.
Okay, you played some in 59, but probably not enough for you.
What, 59?
In 59,
oh, yeah, I played
53
quite a
games, I see.
59?
Yeah, it says 53 games.
Yeah.
So, that's a fair amount.
53 games.
Yeah.
That was a lot of games, because
sure.
Don't forget, you had the all-star catcher there,
right.
Sherm Lala.
Sherm Lala you were behind, yeah. And you batted .294, so you did fine.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the 59 White Sox won the pennant.
Yep.
Lost to the Dodgers in the World Series.
Right.
You did get into the series. Do you recall?
Yeah, at the end.
You had a pinch
what
hitter.
What happened? I was the number one pinch hitter probably in the American League at that time.
Okay, and it says here you were 8-for-13, which is pretty good.
And I had a few home runs, 4 or 5 home runs, I think, pinch hitting.
It says 5.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
And what happened, there never came an opportunity where he really got a chance to use me.
Mm-hmm.
So he just got tired of waiting. At the end, he says, "John, I want you to get up there and hit."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I got up.
Mm-hmm. That series was out in L.A., and it was the Dodgers' first series out there in the Coliseum, and I understand it was like 90,000 or so for game 3, I believe it was.
Yeah, 95 one time.
Right. What do you recall about the Coliseum and that big screen and everything in left field, I believe it was?
Very difficult, first of all, to see.
Yeah.
I mean, all you seen was white shirts out there.
Really?
Yeah, they were used to playing in that thing. It was a pop fly to left field with that big screen.
Right, I know.
As a matter of fact, Wally Moon he was a left-handed hitter. He hit that left field screen like a right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, there was a, I think you had, the Sox had gotten Ted Kluczewski near the end of the 59 season, and he had done some pinch hitting, and he had a great game in game one.
Yeah, he did okay. He, you know, he came after, you know, everything was all done. We practically had the league won. See what happened, Comiskey was the owner of the Sox, and all the guys that he had on that team, he practically raised some kids.
Right.
Now, what happened during the end of the season, Bill Veeck and Hank Greenberg came over, and they took control of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they started bringing in these guys after we practically had the damn thing won.
Right.
They brought Kluczewski in and a couple other guys. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who.
Mm.
But the way it was, we were winning with our team.
Well, yeah, you certainly had nice pitching and everything else. Sure.
Oh, yeah, we had a fantastic year.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was no
really
doubt about
year.
It. And it was all because of Chuck Comiskey.
Really?
Yeah, really. And then I guess they gave all the credit to Veeck and Greenberg because they came in and they took over the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, that year when I came to the, they had a dinner, a baseball writer's dinner, and Greenberg and them came up to me and says, "You're going to be our catcher next year." And I says, "Fine." And he said, "We're going to take care of you. We're going to give you a good raise." And I says, "Fine." I went home, Dad, you know, after the dinner, and a couple of months later, I was traded to Cleveland.
Traded to Cleveland, I was just going to say, yeah.
So that was it.
I just want to ask you one more thing about the 59 series. Quite a bit of disappointment about winning. How did you feel going into the series?
Oh, we were. You see, we had a bunch of young guys, and we had a bunch of old guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mixed.
And to us, you know, it was nothing because it was my first year in the big leagues. I mean, it was Aparicio, Landis,
right.
You know, Earl Batty. You had a bunch of them, Callison.
Right. Right.
These guys here, you know, we thought it was easy. We didn't know after playing all the years later that how difficult it was to get in the series.
Yeah, well, and you were only there one time, so
that's
it
right.
Shows, yeah.
But to us, it was nothing.
Did, in spring training of 59, was it a lot of optimism? Did you feel like
absolutely
you had
absolutely not.
Pardon me?
No.
Not really, huh?
No way.
Mm.
Optimism for what?
Well, I mean...
that we were going to win?
Well, I mean, that you had a shot at the pennant. I mean, none of the Yankees were dominating the 50s there.
No way.
No, huh?
No way.
So
we had very weak hitting.
The Go-Go Sox.
We had a good defensive team.
Yeah. And pitching.
But we had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah. Must have made it all that more exciting.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. We won 33 out of 35 one-run games.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a tremendous year.
Yeah, it sure was. It broke the Yankees' dominance there for 1 year anyway.
And then the next year,
so then
got rid of the whole team.
Yeah, including you, for one.
He got rid of me. Yeah. He got rid of Norm Cash.
Right.
You
were traded
Callison,
with Norm Cash,
Batty.
I believe. Yeah.
I mean, he got rid of all the young potentials.
You were traded, as you said, December 59 to Cleveland. Were you shocked?
Yeah.
Especially after what they told you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be their catcher. Especially because Lopez really liked me.
How did you find out about the trade? Did you read in the paper or did they call you?
No, they called.
They called you?
Yeah.
Did they explain why?
No.
No. And you didn't ask?
No.
Okay. So yeah. You go to Cleveland, though, but you start playing a lot more.
Yeah, but you got to remember now why I went to Cleveland. Because Veeck just came from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And his boy was Benny Mendoza.
Right.
And that's who he traded
for. And they wanted to get him over there.
Yeah.
Over
so
the White Sox.
Gabe Paul took all, took the young guys.
I see. Interesting. A lot more than meets the eye with this stuff. As usual. All right. So anyway, as you get to Cleveland, you start playing a lot more and you start producing. From what I can see, 61 seems to be your best season. 299 batting average, 21 homers, 80 RBIs. 62, 25 homers, 81 RBIs, 261 batting average. You're enjoying some success there.
Oh, yeah. Very difficult because you had nobody else that was hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cleveland didn't have good teams.
So what? Every time you come up, they pitch around you.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult hitting those years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good team. You know, we had a nice team.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bunch of young pitchers on the team that really throw hard.
Right.
I mean, we could throw as hard as anybody in the league, but we never had the experience. And then the thing that hurt is that we traded away right at the beginning of the year. We traded away Colavito,
mm-hmm.
and which was, he was one of our big hitters.
Oh, yeah, devastating.
I mean, if we would have had him there, it would have made a big, big difference because most of the years that we played, that I played there, we were always almost in first place or coming into the All-Star break.
Hmm.
Then once we got out of the All-Star break, we went downhill.
couldn't sustain it.
Yeah.
63, you only play in 89 games. Do you recall what happened? Do you have an injury? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah? What happened?
No, I've been hit. I was hit so many damn times.
Uh-huh. Just I from think, catching, huh?
Yeah, I think it depends. What did I hit that year?
In 63, 216.
216?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's when I broke my hand.
Oh, okay.
I was hitting 334 going against Baltimore just before the All-Star break. And Milt Pappas threw a fastball at my, you know, inside on my face, and I put my hand up out of the, get out of the way, you know, protect my face, and it hit me right in the wrist, just below the wrist on the forehand, and it shattered my bones.
Mm.
They put me in a cast. I was supposed to be in a cast for 6-7 weeks. 2 weeks, they took the cast off, and they wanted me to play.
Mm.
Now I couldn't even hold a bat.
And they told me,
we just want you to handle the young pitchers. Handle the young pitchers. They said, don't worry, at the end of the year, we'll take care of you. Huh? Came to the end of the year, I hit 216. They tried to cut me, I think, 25%. So that was the year I got traded, I guess, was it?
You got traded after 64. You came back 64 with Cleveland.
Yeah.
You had 19 homers, 241.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I tell you,
47 RBIs, it says here. After that, you were traded back to Chicago.
Yeah.
You still had 18 homers your first year back with Chicago. How did you feel getting traded back to Chicago? Was that
because I loved playing Val Lopez.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't mind going back to Chicago at all?
Oh,
you played fairly well. You played fairly well. You had, like I said, 18 homers, which would be no small feat. And,
yeah, well,
15 the following year.
You got to remember now, I'm playing in the biggest ballparks around.
Well, you like Comiskey, and you have Yankee Stadium when you come in there.
Cleveland.
And Cleveland was a big park,
No, I'm talking about most of your games are played in your hometown.
Well, Comiskey was no hitter's park.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, a record for home runs was only 20-something home runs.
Right.
Especially for a right-hander. You hit the ball, you hit a 500 feet, it blows back 300 feet. And that's a fact.
Really, huh?
Oh. And then Cleveland, when I hit the ball, it was dead man's alley on the left side.
Yeah, no, Cleveland's always been a tough park. So, the wind blows off the lake, too, for the old Cleveland.
Yeah, if I would have played in mostly any little small park like Detroit or Boston or that, I could have had some hell of a years.
Yes, you did, as it were. I mean, you didn't do so badly, as it were.
Yeah, well, it wasn't bad at all.
You do end up in St. Louis for 67.
Yeah, that's when I quit.
Yeah, what happened? How did you get to St. Louis? You traded over there before the 67 season.
I don't know how I got over there. I guess Stanky traded me out of the league. They didn't want to trade me into the American League.
Mm-hmm. You did play a few. You played 24 games, it says, for the Cardinals in 67.
Didn't hardly play at all.
Yeah, you did not get into the series. The Cardinals made the series that year against the Boston Red Sox. You didn't appear. Did you expect to, or did you kind of feel that was it?
Yeah, I thought it was all over right then and there. Not that I was done playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I never got an opportunity to play. Here you're one of the top catchers in the major leagues, and you go over into St. Louis, and you play with a guy named McCarver who hit a home run in the World Series, and he played almost every day.
Mm. So were you on the team for the series and just didn't get in? Or
I was on the team.
Okay, so you were there. You were at the series in uniform then. Okay.
Didn't play.
You just didn't get a chance to play. Okay, now, so how does it come to an end then after that?
Well, I didn't go. Let me tell you what happened.
Oh, okay.
They wanted me to go, and I said, am I going to play? And they said, I don't know. We really don't know. So he said, well, Wuduszek, never been to the series. I said, send Wuduszek.
Mm-hmm.
I figured what they were going to do is just use him to pitch batting practice.
Yeah.
And I said, no, send Wuduszek. And I said, I'll go home. And that's when I told Stan Musial, I told him I was going to retire.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you retire because they weren't playing and you felt you'd never shot, or?
No, they just didn't. I told him I didn't want to play anymore. I said, the only way I play again is if I play for the Yankees or the Mets, someplace local.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I seen Ralph Hock out at the Baseball Writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, Ralph, I said, you know, I'm available. He said, John, I've been trying to trade for you for 5 years. I said, well, you got me now. I said, and all you got to do is pay my salary. I said, I'd be glad to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was all set that night, and I get a call 2 days later from Lee McPhail and says that they're going to go with the young guys because they're not going to be moving any place. They figured they had a young team. They weren't going to win nothing. So they went with the young guys.
Mm. Well, they developed a fellow a year or so later by the name of Thurman Munson. I guess maybe that's what they had their
own. No, he wasn't even involved.
No?
No, he was a long way off after.
Yeah, he was
a
rookie.
Guy named Jake Gibbs.
Jake Gibbs, right.
Out.
Right, Jake Gibbs. Yeah, he was...
That's what they were going to go with the young guys.
Mm, too bad for you.
Yeah. And the same thing happened with the Mets. The Mets weren't going any place, and they didn't want to shell out the money, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, were you active in any part of the game after you retired?
No.
Okay.
No, that's it. You had my career right there.
Okay. Was it your choice, or did no opportunities come forward?
No, just my choice. That was it.
Okay. What did you do after that?
Oh, I just went to work.
I wanted to ask you about a few of your team. Well, let me ask you first of all about a couple of the managers you played for. You mentioned Al Lopez before. You played with him in Chicago, rather.
Yeah.
Tell me about Al Lopez. You said you liked playing for him. Why did you like playing for him?
Oh, he's a nice man.
Yeah?
Yeah. He didn't take any baloney from anybody. He didn't expect any excuses from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great baseball man.
What type of style would you say? Was he hands-off? Was he hands-on? Was he mixed? Was he a gambler? How would you describe the way he managed?
Oh, very conservative.
Mm-hmm. Like by the book, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the book. But he knew his baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He really knew his baseball. I'll tell you who was good. He was like him and Paul Richards.
Really?
Yeah. On the same type.
Mm-hmm. Did he... he was a catcher when he played.
Yeah. That's why I was great. That's why I wanted to play for him.
Mm-hmm. Was he good at knowing pitches, when to take them out, that kind of thing?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Look, when you got a hitless one, the team like we had, and we won a pennant.
Yeah. You had to do with pitching.
He was good.
Yeah, you had to do with pitching. In Cleveland, you played for Joe Gordon and Jimmy Dykes.
Jimmy Dykes I loved.
Yeah.
Joe Gordon was fine.
Yeah. And Mel McGaha, you played for him. Right?
Oh, McGaha.
Yeah. And Bertie Tebbets.
That one I could have left. I could have done without.
Okay. You played well for him, though.
Yeah, but I still just still not played well.
And you had Bertie Tebbets after he left. Mel McGaha apparently was fired, or he only was there for 1 year in Cleveland. And then
I don't think he was there for a year.
And then Bertie Tebbets came along, and you played a couple of years for him. Do you recall playing for Bertie?
I believe
he was a catcher as well,
if
I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
But Al Lopez seems to be the... the
Al
one
Lopez
you really enjoyed.
Jimmy Dykes.
Yeah. Now, you had Eddie Stanky. You mentioned him.
Yeah,
what do you recall about Eddie Stanky?
What do I recall about him?
What do you remember about him?
Yeah. Just ordinary manager.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was he? Did he have that flamboyant or fiery personality that we hear about now, or was he kind of not quite that way as a manager?
Oh, yeah. He was fiery.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
With umpires or?
With everything.
With everyone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was very tough manager.
He
didn't take any bull for no crap from anybody.
Really?
Don't let anybody intimidate you.
Mm-hmm. Did people like playing for him, or was he? Did he kind of get everybody kind of unnerved a little?
Say that again now?
Stanky, by the way he was, did he get people kind of like upset, or did he kind of bring the best out in people, or it doesn't really matter?
Well, it all depends. You know, it depends on who you were talking to.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the best out in Tommy Agee,
mm-hmm.
and a kid named Ken Berry,
mm-hmm.
center fielder.
Right.
He did well with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the older players, no, you couldn't use the psychology on them.
Right. And you played for Red Changes at St. Louis.
Yeah, while I was there.
Yeah, while you were there. I wanted to ask you about some of the teammates that you had, the Sox and the Indians. You played with Early Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
At the Sox. What do you recall about anything you can tell me about him? I mean, we know he's a great pitcher and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was behind you 50.
I think I won his 250th game with a home run.
Oh, really?
And I was instrumental in winning the game for him in his 300th win with a home run. But the guy that really saved him for his 300th win was his roommate, Jerry Walker, relief pitcher.
Right.
He came in and stopped him. Otherwise, he would have had a hell of a time trying to get that 300th win because... he started about three or four times prior to that.
Right. He was hanging on just to get that done, and then he retired after that. Was he as a fiery competitor as we hear about now?
Oh, yeah.
Very. Yeah, the old I'll knock down my mother if she's in the box type of thing? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Don't swing hard on him.
Really?
Even when I played against him, you swing hard and you miss. You know, like, next pitch was going over your head.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's not like they do today.
You also play with Nellie Fox with the Sox.
Great little ball player.
Yeah. He had some great years and some very impressive statistics. Was he kind of like the leader of the 59 team, would you say? Or maybe he didn't have one? Maybe he was a second baseman or Aparicio? Anybody that maybe like was a leader on that team, or is that not really the case?
Leader? No, it was just a team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys, they just gelled together. I mean, you had to see this.
Mm-hmm.
The talent was, you know, there was a lot of talent there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're naming some great ball players right here.
Not much hitting, though.
Right, yeah. Well, Aparicio was a great base stealer, great shortstop. And
Louis got on base, Nelly bunt him to second. Louis would steal second, bunt him to third. And the next thing you know, a fly ball, get him home.
Mm.
That was our hitting.
Yeah. At Cleveland, you played with, among other people, Jimmy Pearsall, who is fairly well known. What do you recall about him? Was he?
Jimmy was crazy as a fox. Jimmy was a good ball player.
Yes, he was.
But
he had a number
as crazy
of problems.
As everybody thought he was.
He's not as crazy.
No. Nah.
He was overdone.
Yeah. He was just a good ball player, nice guy.
Really?
I got along well with him.
Really? Well, I think he, by that time, a lot of the things that had haunted him, I think either were handled or what have you, maybe. That was the end of his career somewhat, right?
Yeah, probably. No, he still went away. He played later on. I think he, where did he go?
Well, he continued to play. I think he went
to the Angels.
Yeah, he did end up with the Angels after that, I know. But he,
because as a matter of fact, I think he became the sportscaster.
Yeah, I believe he broadcasted. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may still be, for all I know, yeah. You also played, and you talked about hard throwers. You played with Sam McDowell in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a hard thrower. He was one of the hardest throwers I ever saw.
Hard thrower, great stuff.
Was he the hardest guy you ever caught? I mean, you know, threw the hardest, would you say?
Oh, God.
You know, as a catcher.
I caught Gibson, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there was a lot of hard throwers.
Anybody else? Who else do you think? McDowell and Gibson, the two hardest?
That threw as hard as him?
Yeah.
Oh, God, there was guys down in minor leagues that threw hard.
Really? Well, in the major leagues, I guess, since we're concentrating on that.
Well, we had a bunch of guys that could throw hard. We had a kid named Gary Bell. We had a kid named Frankie Funk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys you never hear about.
Well, Gary Bell, I remember. He pitched in the majors for a few years.
Oh, yeah, he threw the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
They didn't have the rest of the stuff to go with it. See, Sam had every pitch in the book.
Mm.
I mean, he had every pitch. Yeah. There was none that he didn't have.
Yeah. Left-handed, the top of the
list. Oh, yeah. He could go down as one of the top pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, I remember him as a kid. He was terrific. You also caught Jim Perry for a while in Cleveland.
Yeah, I caught Jim for 5 years.
Yeah, how would you describe his stuff?
He was more like an Ollie Wynn type.
Mm-hmm.
A little more control, just strictly control, a little slider, a little fastball.
You also played with Vic D'Avelio, pinch hitter extraordinaire.
Run like a reindeer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good little ball player.
You also had a teammate for a number of years who played for many, many years by the name of Tommy John.
Yep, Tommy John.
Now, you played with him in both Cleveland and Chicago, if I remember right.
I broke him in when he was about 18 years old. I caught almost every game for him in 5 years, yeah.
Now, he had the sinker at that time working, or was he?
No. He was just a hard thrower.
He was a hard thrower,
hard
huh?
Hard thrower, curveball, slider. When he hurt his arm, that's when he became a pitcher.
Well, that came later on with the Dodgers.
Yeah, but he had good stuff before that.
A hard thrower, huh?
Oh, yeah. He threw good.
He did he have that kind of like, I don't know what you'd call it, that kind of scholarly approach to the game at that time, or was he just kind of throwing at people? Now, he didn't learn to pitch, I guess, until later on. Would you say that's right, after he got the operation and all that?
Tommy was not. He had good stuff, the kid.
Mm.
But like I said, he didn't really come into his own until probably when he went to the Dodgers and he hurt his arm.
Yeah. You also caught Hoyt Wilhelm. How was that?
Toughest guy in the world.
Really?
Toughest guy in the world. I remember one night in Cleveland, I came in to catch because normally I never caught him. I always, you know, J.C. Martin or McNerney used to catch him.
Oh, really? That's right. J.C. Martin had the big glove. Yeah, I remember.
Whenever he came in, I walked off the field. This one night, Stanky said, no, you're the catcher. I went back out there. He struck out 3 men in a row, 9 pitches. We had loaded bases.
Wow, that's something.
Never put a glove on a ball.
Wow, it's really something. You know, those type of things you really remember. What type of a guy was Hoyt Wilhelm?
Nice guy.
Yeah?
Really a nice fella.
Yeah.
We used to go out and eat a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You played with Moose Scarron, too, I believe, with the Sox for a while, right?
65.
Right, he came over from the Yankees. I guess that was a change for him, although he had played on some great teams. He was... Was he still kind of hoping to win, or I guess he had figured that it passed him by. Did you get to know him fairly well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, we were always with Moose.
Yeah?
Yeah. Moose was still playing ball. He was playing good ball. He wasn't that old when he came
over. Not really. Not that old.
No.
Because I think he was with the Dodgers first, and then came to you guys,
yeah,
I think.
When he came to us, he was, what, about 32, 33?
Yeah, I suppose. Something like
that.
Yeah,
so he was still fine.
67 cards, you didn't play that long, but you did mention Gibson. Any memories of Gibson?
All I can tell you, he could throw like mad. I mean, he threw. He had hard, hard stuff. He's one of the better pitchers I've ever caught.
Yeah. Was he another one that was real fiery out there, all business, all that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, strictly business.
Yeah.
Strictly business.
Not out there to play, out there to execute, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, McCarver's told many stories about how he would yell at him and tell him to get off the mound, that kind of thing.
Really?
Well, he said that, you know, he didn't want to be told what to do, you know, that kind of thing. Once in a while he said that. But I believe Steve Carlton was a young pitcher with the cards
in
there.
Yeah, I caught Steve a couple times.
Yeah?
Yeah. Had good stuff.
Yeah, sure did. Certainly.
He could throw, too.
Yeah, oh, sure.
He could throw as almost hard as any of them.
Was he an aloof individual at that time? I mean, he had a lot of problems with the press later on in his career with the Phils.
Oh, no. Well, you see, everything was Gibson and, you know, you had a bunch of guys over there.
Yeah, they had a load of stars.
Yeah, so, I mean, so he was just a young kid.
Yeah, he wasn't what he became later on with the Phils.
No, he was just a young kid, so they didn't even bother him.
How about Roger Maris? Did you get to know Roger Maris at all?
Roger sat next to me. It was me, Eddie Pursuit, and Roger.
Sit next to you where?
In the clubhouse, when we dressed.
What do you recall about Roger?
Roger was a nice fellow, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quiet. You know, he was only the end of his career.
Yeah, he was at the end of his career. Did you get the feeling he was happy to be in St. Louis away from New York, or...?
I don't know.
No?
I really don't know. I never talked to him about
it. Yeah, I thought maybe he might have mentioned it, but you mentioned... You, people seem to all agree he was fairly quiet and kept to himself.
Oh, he was very quiet. Well, but we had one of those teams that were very quiet, though.
No, you get guys like Curt Flood, right?
Yeah, Curt, you never even knew he was around. Or Brock, you didn't know he was around.
And you had Orlando Cepeda, too.
Cepeda was there, and you had Shannon. And
Mike Shannon, right.
Oh, yeah, you had McCarver. You had a bunch of guys on that team that very outspoken.
What about McCarver? You know he broadcasts for the Mets for a number of years now. Looking at him and hearing him now on TV... what was he like as a player as opposed to what he is now? Was he that insightful type of individual then, or just kind of out there?
Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell?
Couldn't tell you, because I really didn't associate that much with any of those guys.
Yeah, you weren't there that
long. I stayed away from them. I was, I was with Eddie Pursuit and them.
I see. You have your groups that you go in, right?
You know, those guys were, you know, over there. They were all nice guys.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, I didn't associate that much with them.
Who were your best friends, would you say, throughout your years?
My roommate, Bubba Phillips.
Bubba Phillips,
Max
huh?
Max Alvis.
And Max Alvis, third baseman
Jim
for the
Landis.
Indians. And Jim Landis,
yeah.
Right, with the Sox.
A lot of them. Seagin, Chuck Seagin.
Mm-hmm. Are you still in touch with anybody?
No. Tito Francona, once in a while. And Jim Landis.
You're in touch with them occasionally, huh?
Yeah.
You in touch with Willard Marshall anymore?
Yeah, every so often I see Willard.
No, because I know he lives up near where you live.
Yeah.
Do you follow the game at all now?
Nope.
No, have no interest?
Nope. Yeah, my wife's getting tired.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll just ask you one or two more things.
Because I got to get going.
Okay, so you say you don't follow the game and you have no thoughts about how it is now. Did you have a favorite team or player growing up?
Everybody was Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle.
Oh, so you were too.
Even when I was playing ball.
Really?
Yeah. Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio.
I see.
Now, my guy I really liked was Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Wonderful man.
I know you have to go, so I will let you go then. It was really nice talking to you. I appreciate it. And
no problem, Tom.
And it was really nice.